Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
You told me you didn't have powers.
Of course I have powers. Ugh. My grandfather was Zeus! My power just sucks.
Ah, that's why you keep causing all those electrical mishaps and getting kicked off ships.
I didn't ask for lightning bolts. I joined Starfleet so I could fix and build stuff. I hid my power so people wouldn't be scared of me, like a Q or something.
Well, to be fair, Qs are more annoying than scary. I thought you wanted to fight the system, like me. But you're your own person. I should have paid attention.
And I shouldn't have hidden the computer.
We still have a mystery to solve, and a war to stop.
How?
You might actually have to use those crappy powers.
What? Mariner, I don't want people to know! Mariner!
We're about to start. You don't need to be huffing and puffing, okay?
This is so
we
difficult.
We seem to be on different pages.
I don't know why it's so difficult.
Look, I've started the clock,
Good.
So we can now say with full degrees of confidence.
Is it now?
The podcast has begun.
It's about time.
It was a little bit controversial. Starting the podcast.
Yeah, well, can we start now?
No, we are started.
I don't believe you.
I know. You thought we started like 2 minutes ago.
No, I didn't think we're ever going to start.
No, we've
because you're like, it's time to start. I just got to press the button. And then a minute later, I'm like, you're going to start? You're like, I'll start when I damn well please.
No, I didn't say when I damn well please. I said when I felt it was appropriate.
Okay.
We hadn't gotten to
the point stands.
We hadn't gotten to the starting point.
My
yet.
Point is not changed in the slightest by that qualification.
The jibber jabber had not yet achieved the state that would qualify for the beginning
so
of
the podcast. So is this some kind of abstract esoteric thing that you just feel out?
No, it's... Yeah, well, yes.
Yes, it must be, because it's not based on anything...
It doesn't have to be esoteric. It's not
esoteric. Based on anything reasonable as far as I can tell.
It is based on long experience editing these podcasts together and being like, what's a good starting point? It's not a critique. It's just the nature of the
still,
art of podcast.
It's still a bit abstract, if you tell me, because there is no definite. It's a kind of like I'll know it when I see it kind of thing.
Yeah, it's like pornography.
Like pornography.
Like
pornography.
Like I know what I see.
Okay. I was buying pornography.
You can tell us
that
about
that.
That
was a Simpsons quote.
Sure it was, Dan. I'm sure it was.
No, are you going to tell me that it's really obscure?
No,
you're like, I don't watch The Simpsons much, but that's really obscure.
I know.
I don't watch the show.
That one I know, I know Super Nintendo Chalmers.
Right.
And I know nothing at all. Nothing at all. I know many of them, including the one you just said. I was pulling your chain.
You know what? That Super Nintendo Chalmers thing where there's like a picture of a Super Nintendo and it's painted with Chalmers on there.
Yes.
Like I remember like it's been a few years, but there was a younger fella and he understood the quote Super Nintendo Chalmers, but he didn't know what a Super Nintendo looked like. And
whoa.
I was like, that's a Super Nintendo. And he was like, oh.
Wow. That's pretty.
Because first he was like, what the fuck is that?
Kids awesome. Not. Kids aren't learning their history these days.
Yeah.
Next thing you'll tell me, kids don't know what a Sega Genesis or a TurboGrafx-16 was.
I was like, that's Super Nintendo Chalmers. And he was like, oh.
TurboGrafx is a little bit more,
yeah,
I don't know.
I don't think he's going to know.
Yeah, but it had that bonk game.
Yeah.
With the kid with the big head.
Yeah, they also had some kind of Keith Courage game or something. Yeah.
All right. So we have started a Star Trek podcast.
We're starting now?
Already started.
We've started a couple
started
minutes.
I started 2.5 minutes.
Yeah, it's been a while. So how about this? Let's start with a quiz. We have started, but now let's, in earnest.
What are we starting? We have to name the podcast.
No, okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, you're right. This is the It's Got Star Trek podcast. Yeah. Welcome.
What's crapping in with you,
But I just wanted to start with a quiz. We're already thrown off here, but this is fine.
I'm not thrown.
We're going to start with a quiz, and it's a name quiz. And it's just, I thought this would be a good way to get us into the podcast, get us into this discussion of the episode, which we will reveal the title of the episode we're discussing in a moment. The audience already knows because they have clicked on it.
Knows.
And probably they understand what they're listening to, but we'll make it official in a second. I want you all, you, Dan and Jesse, to provide me with the names of all the cubes and orbs that were named in this episode.
Well, let's see. There was Orbiculus.
Orbiculus, yes. There which was, is like ridiculous.
Yeah, there was.
So that was funny.
Omega Cube.
Omega Cube. Very good, Dan. Very
you,
good.
What about you, Jesse? Do you remember any?
There was the Quadrilon. Yeah. And
Quadrilon.
Radium.
Radiara.
Radiara.
It's Radiara.
And then Squaren was there.
Yeah, Squaren with the capital A in the middle.
Yeah.
Squaren.
And then there was the. Was it Rotunda or Ronda? The guy. No,
Rondus.
Rondus.
Yeah, and then there was Sexagus.
Yes.
Yeah. And they were six-sided. A cube is six-sided. Yep.
And Spheronius.
Spheronius. That's the last one I have on my list. Spheronius. I remember Spheronius. I really like Spheronius. I liked all of these names.
Squaren.
Yeah. Now check it out. Check it out.
Orbulate.
We have another.
You're about to start into some sort of a hip-hop routine.
No, I'm not starting.
But you said, check it out, swiftly.
All hip-hop.
Yeah. With a hip-hop, hippity-hop-hop.
Redorbulous!
Redorbulous.
What are we checking out?
I'm telling you.
Oh, okay. Sorry. My
bad. Jesus.
Fuck no.
You're like, oh, what are we checking out? Are we checking out a booble bubble? A dooba 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 booble. Dan, what the fuck? What are we checking out? I don't know yet, man. No, it was when we, you know how they have pronunciation issues sometimes? Like sometimes they point out when they don't consistently pronounce something.
Yeah.
This is Radiara.
And you're speaking about Star Trek in general.
Yeah, in general. Or like a lot of shows. I mean, I'm sure a lot of shows do that.
Yeah,
but Star
it came
Trek
up
doesn't.
A lot with Shatner in both TAS and TOS.
Well,
he was notorious for mispronouncing.
Here's a double whammy. This is Radiara.
Squaren.
Right? This is Spheronius.
Yeah. Squaren.
Right.
Yeah.
Squaren.
Squaren.
Squaren. Squaren. Squaren.
So here's the double whammy part. Here's Spheronius.
Squaren.
And here's Spheronius.
Squaren.
Squaren.
Squaren. Oh, so Spheronius says it different twice?
Yeah.
That is very interesting.
Check it out.
Squaren. Squaren.
Squaren.
Squaren.
Squaren.
Squaren.
Squaren.
You know, Dan, that's excellent because what's great about this is we're only 5 minutes into the podcast. We haven't even fucking announced the title of what we're talking about.
Oh,
and you have provided some very valuable info content. Infotainment content? Anyway.
Absolutely.
You've given the audience something that they can take home with them.
That's really good.
Far, far be it from me to critique your technique. But you're providing a lot of content like right up front here. I hope you're not. I hope it's because this episode is jam packed full of content and not because you're just squirting your wad.
Oh, I'm not
all
squirting.
All at the front of the show.
You can do that with the other one too.
You know, the main thing I noticed there there's this weird little light on the board. There's a little red light that pops up. It's under a word that says peak. And it's just when you do that, the light is just on.
That's how you hurt people's ears.
It just stays on. Anyway.
Hurts people's
ears. That was
a
good little quiz you guys performed.
Hawk noise.
It's so funny. Well, now you warned us about the hawk noise, but it was super low.
I know. I turned it down because I didn't want to blow your ears off. I lowered it too much.
That was an anemic not hawk.
It's just a crazy idea.
Give that hawk a meal.
Well, I have a quiz for you, too.
Are you
Please,
turning the tables
feel,
on us?
No, feel free to proceed however you like to proceed. But we are still in the... If this were a Star Trek episode, we are still in the opening teaser.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, I would call it a cold open.
Cold open.
That's what I would call it.
Is it you that calls it a cold open?
I think a lot. I'm not the
I
only
thought you
person.
Were the one who called it a teaser.
No,
you used to call it a teaser, and you were like, cold open. What do you say?
Yeah, I never called it a teaser.
What do I call it?
A teaser.
So I'm the one who calls it a teaser.
Yeah, you don't even remember which one you
because
did.
Because I associate a cold open with like Saturday Night Live or something like that. Not. I don't know. I think this is a teaser. It's an
gross.
Maybe I'm the one that's mixed up.
Well,
what angle trickery is this?
I think you're the one that's mixed up.
Okay.
Okay. So here's the question.
So Dan is going to proceed with his quiz.
Okay.
We'll tell you which episode we're discussing in a few minutes.
Okay. This game is called Who Says This?
this?
Who says this?
Okay, so what you demonstrated there is that the cadence, that unusual cadence that you employed in the first utterance of that phrase, the game does not rely on the cadence, because then you said it again without that strange cadence.
Yeah, totally.
Okay. All right. So this is who said this.
Yes, yeah, says
now,
this.
Now do you mean the actor?
Who says this?
Do you mean the actor or the character?
The character.
Okay.
So for this first question, I'll give you a selection of two people. Who says this? What angled trickery is this? Is that said by orbiculus or sexagus?
Ooh. Isn't it the combined business? Is it when they're combined into a big orb, or is it when they're still separate?
This question stands, orbiculus or sexagus?
I say both.
I'm going to say orbiculus.
Jesse got it right.
Oh, Jesse.
Because he would be suspicious of angles.
The reason,
edges.
Exactly. The hint was in the
He's
quote.
He's a round dude.
Right, because he said, what angled trickery is this? It wouldn't have been said by sexagus because...
Oh, yeah, well, duh. Yeah. I'm so silly.
Sexagus
is
a six-sided
You were right. I get what you're saying.
Yep.
Okay.
So that was a little tricky trick.
Is there more of a quiz?
Here's another one. I don't know if you're going to be able to get this, but there is a point to it. Who says this? Scan couldn't locate him, Captain. There's a reason I bring this up.
Is it?
It's the guy that's like the Darmok guy.
Yes.
I forget what his name is.
Kayshan.
Kayshan.
Oh, Kayshan. Yeah.
And I bring that because
Carl Tart.
Because he said a normal sentence.
That's right.
Yeah, well, he speaks normal sentence. When he came on the ship, he was
Rajik,
all like...
when he fell in the chasm.
Yeah.
He said he was learning, like, Federation standard.
But, like, does he talk in a normal sentences ever?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does.
I don't remember. Can you name an episode that he does that
all
in?
Of them.
Nuh-uh.
Yes, every single one that he's in.
Well, I think it's interesting
When he was introduced, he talks about how he either learned it or the Universal Translator, whatever. They figured out how to... He can use normal sentences, but then he also uses Temerian-style sentences.
Temerian, that's what they're called, and I always forget.
You're all like, it's them Darmok people.
I know.
Fine.
I'm an asshole.
All right. Any more quiz questions in this opening teaser?
Quiz 'em
cold
up,
open.
Glaubitz.
Quiz 'em up potpourri.
No. Off.
Okay. Oh. All right. So, presuming that you use those sound clips to convey an actual response to my question, am I correct to presume that or to assume that?
Yeah, totally.
Okay. Even though that line was read sarcastically, I'm going to presume you did not mean it sarcastically.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right.
Look great.
Thank you. Hello. Hi.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
That's
What's
Dan.
What's crapping in with you?
That's Dan running the old sounds. Jesse's making some comments. Hi, I'm Patrick.
Hello.
I'm clicking the buttons.
We're 11 minutes, we're over 10 minutes.
That's not bad.
And we've already finished talking about half
really
the episode.
Really not bad. Yeah.
Okay. Hello, welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast. This is episode 200 and I think 66.
66.
Watch where you're going, ball!
You!
It's got to be 266. So episode 266 of the It's Got Star Trek podcast. Hello.
Hello.
And
hello.
This week we will be discussing Star Trek Lower Decks Season 5, Episode 6 of Gods and Angels.
Oh, yeah!
Took me a second. Now,
that name is Cubist.
Okay. First of all, yes. Second of all, again, there's a name controversy. Although I don't think it's like the last couple of weeks where Paramount Plus just got the name wrong, right? Where they actually had the name listed wrong, Starbase 80, and I forget a couple episodes before that.
That's what I said!
This is different. All the materials that I saw prior to this episode being released, all of them, including ones by Paramount and Memory Alpha, and all sorts of business, they all refer to this episode name as Of Gods and Angels.
Redarbulous!
Right.
Which is a very TOS sounding name. It is not, when you think about it, not a particularly Lower Deck sounding name. So in that sense, when we found out when the show aired that it is in fact Of Gods and Angels.
Angles.
That makes much more sense in the Lower Decks context. But I know a lot of people had thought it was Of Gods and Angels, sort of a classic.
We might not.
Classic Star Trek name. And of course it makes sense, Of Gods and Angels, because we have Ollie the demigod and we have all the angles in
I may have misread it due to just visual impairments.
Well, there's that as well.
And that's not the only problem I have to deal with today.
Anyway, I think they might have hidden it from us. I don't know. I don't have any evidence to support that, but I think maybe they were perfectly happy having the materials, the preseason and pre this episode materials say of gods and angels, because why not? It makes sense as a title. Nobody would think about it.
The cubes are weird.
It works.
It will seem. Well, but you're right, because they talk about Ollie the demigod. They talk about the angles of the cubes.
Of the dangles.
Yeah, edges. They do not reference the orbs, the spheroids, whatever you want to.
Whoa, she's a demigod? So what's it like being a demigod?
You played those tapes just because I said the word demigod.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was, you know, topical.
Yeah. No, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So in the
squaring,
in the opening teaser, cold open, whatever you might call it.
I was saying the title is Cubist because they talk about angles, Cubist. But they don't talk about circle things.
Yeah, I know. I just said that.
No, you didn't say that part. Yeah. You know, you just mentioned gods and angels.
No, no. Yeah, you totally weren't listening.
And you mean cubist as in favoring the cube type.
And I was acknowledging what you were saying because you said that earlier, and I was like, yes, you're right, Dan. It doesn't mention the orbs or the spheroids.
Same for you, guy-looking guy!
all right, so it opens up with another beautiful shot. This is, beautiful, beautiful episode.
Dude, the opening shot.
The nebula.
It goes from like.
The Veriflex.
It goes
nebula.
From like, from left to right. It goes from like indigo to violet to like a magenta-ish
Ooh,
space background.
This guy's full of words.
And
indigo to magenta.
And then.
This human is full of words.
This human is full of words.
And did you notice that? Did you?
Oh.
So did you notice that the violet part in the center, it kind of looked like a wiener and two eggs pointing up and to the right?
No,
a
little bit. I did not notice that.
Yeah,
did
if you look at it again.
Jesse? I didn't notice that.
The middle part, the violetish part in the middle, looked like it was a wiener.
I noticed the visual and auditory.
I can spot a wiener.
I noticed the visual and auditory references to Star Trek II and the battle in the Mutara Nebula. Because the colors of the nebula mimicked very closely whatever colors you were just talking about, indigo, nice. Magenta, all that business. They closely mimicked the Mutara Nebula colors. And the music cue,
it did a
Lower Decks variation on James Horner's Mutara Nebula music. Like that.
Right on.
I mean, I can't do it because it's a bunch of synth and, you know.
Pure energy.
It was cool.
It's nebula.
I mean, I guess I could have gotten an audio clip, but I didn't bother to do that this week. I apologize.
I believe in you.
Indeed you do. But all of that is
Gaseous
to say.
Gaseous euphonious.
It was a. It
what?
Was,
Gaseous euphonious? What'd you say, Jesse?
Gaseous euphoniasms.
Oh.
Okay. I'm not entirely clear how to interpret that. Initially, I thought you were making
nebula music.
I know. Okay, I thought you were talking about making a play on the name Cassius Clay.
We got a real Ronald B. Moore over here working on your stand-up, huh?
Then I realized we didn't. Do you know who Ronald B. Moore is?
It's like
He's a
reference. It's something about the Joe Piscopo episode. Isn't it something to do with the Joe Piscopo episode or something? Okay, first of all, there's Ronald. First of all, there's Ronald D. Moore.
D. Moore is the writer. Ronald D. Moore.
But Ronald B. Moore is something else.
Ronald B. Moore was the visual effects supervisor for TNG.
But then wasn't there a joke? Wasn't it involved some? Wasn't there some?
Funny.
Wasn't it involved with some? I was skimming something.
Okay, well,
and I didn't read it.
I didn't see that. But I believe you. If something was there, it'd be convenient.
It says Ronald B. Moore was a noted human comedian from the 20th century. Yeah, it was. It was Joe Piscopo.
Oh, is that the name they gave Joe Piscopo?
Yeah, Ronald B. Moore was a noted human comedian.
Because he's not named in the episode, I don't think.
Ronald B. Moore was a noted human comedian from the 20th century. In 2365, Data attempted to utilize Mr. Comic to help him better understand the concept of humor. And that was Joe Piscopo.
That guy.
And he was Ronald B. Moore, but it's also like the name.
It was an inside joke from the guy.
But then he was probably named after the visual effects guy. Either that or like Ronald D. Moore had something to do with it.
Where were we? Star Trek, it's a podcast. It's got Star Trek. That's what we're on.
It's a podcast.
We're doing Of Gods and Angles and Mutara Nebula.
Veriflex Nebula.
Show starts up and...
Photonic, the made of
photonic
pure energy.
Peeps.
Yes, you've got...
Pure energy.
Cubes, and you've got orbs, and they're all going around.
Immediately.
Hating on each other.
Immediately, right off the bat, I love that they just had like this really abstract cubes and spheres made up of light. And like when they shoot at each other, they're just shooting like lines at each other.
Yeah,
you know, like the whole thing, like how abstract. And it was great that
shape war.
Yeah, I know, right?
Oh, shape war.
Shape war.
And what drilled it home for me was when at the end when they were growing in all big, and Ransom was like,
you know what? It's just a bigger orb and a bigger cube. They're not creative at all.
Like, for some reason,
Ransom had a lot of good lines.
Yeah, for some reason,
and a lot of good facial expressions.
For some reason, when he said that line of like, they're not creative at all, like right. That struck me because I was like, oh yeah, you're right. It's like they're just a bunch of. Just
at first, he was like, it could be anything. They could turn it into
Because on the one hand, it's like really cool because it's almost like Tron or something, yeah. Like looking at all the colors.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, it is. It's just like we got a circle, we got a square, we got we got some lines. And it's like, yeah, they wouldn't be very creative creatures, would they? Because, you know, they're just squares.
They're just squares. And,
what's a square going to turn into when it gets bigger? Just a bigger square.
Yeah.
It's funny.
It's not going to turn into a trapezoid.
Square Aaron is.
Or a rhombus.
Square Aaron is spelled like Aaron with a squ at the beginning.
Yeah,
but yeah. So anyway, that was. But yeah, Ransom had a lot of good lines.
How come he's the only one that poops?
We must presume the other ones poop, right?
What?
That's a good. But I had that question as well.
He control it because he's a youngin.
An audience, forgive us. We know we're jumping around.
The square and
don't worry about
the square and creature poops.
Yeah, the little
those
little
cheeks are going to be for days.
The baby square and excreted some sort of excrement.
He's created excrement?
Yeah. Well, whatever it is,
it
becomes,
fell to the ground.
Whatever it is,
was that necessarily necessary?
It's not redundant in this case because if you excrete something, it becomes excrement. Excrete is the verb. Excrement is the
excrement.
Noun. It's an ad noun.
Is
it's
that
a descriptive
like, is
noun.
That like how when you toast bread, you get toast?
Yes, exactly. It's exactly like that. Well done. Very well
toast
done.
Toast is
sir.
Delicious.
Toast is fine.
Well illustrated.
I like toast like super.
It can be fine or it can be delicious.
I like it super lightly toasted.
Yeah, yeah.
Super lightly.
I've developed
just kind of brown.
An appreciation for.
I don't want to throw things off.
I don't like really dark toast. It fucking pisses me off.
Because I'm a toast aficionado. I could talk toast for hours.
Toast aficionado. That's not a thing.
We should do a toast podcast.
We'll do an it's not Star Trek. And if you're a new audience, we get a lot of new folks listening to, when we cover a show.
I hope we do.
We occasionally do episodes called It's Not Star Trek, covering things like Pickles or Alf or
Gross.
Toast in the future.
The cubes are weird.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, perhaps.
I can understand how
fried
one
green tomatoes.
I can understand how one might say like, oh, I'm really into bread and I'm a bread expert and bread's super awesome. Sure, but like a toast expert. I mean, that's.
I didn't say I was a toast expert.
You
I said
aficionado.
A
it's the same fucking thing.
No.
Aficionado is a.
It's a synonym.
It's a serious hobby.
I bet you if I look
it's
up
a serious
synonyms,
pastime.
Right? Aficionado. Yes.
I'm gonna look up aficionado synonym.
Expert means like you have a PhD.
Yeah,
or something.
I don't have my expertise. Does not lie.
I'm gonna write aficionado synonym,
but I would be confident in any sort of amateur toasting
expert. The second fucking word is expert.
Yeah, what's the first word?
Connoisseur.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like a connoisseur of toast. I'm a toast aficionado or connoisseur.
But
I will not claim expert.
I said expert. And you're like no, not the, that's not the
Let
same
me
thing.
Guess.
And
oh,
I have right
not.
Here. I have from Oxford Languages says right here that expert is a synonym for aficionado. Therefore,
no.
I know there's subtle differences.
Yes,
but like it's
which
not
is the beauty of the. English
but
language.
it's not ridiculous to think that like you're not at all you're basically saying I'm an expert when you say I'm a toast aficionado for all intents and purposes you are saying
well
I'm
done.
An expert
well done there yeah. Well done on the intents and purposes
I'm gonna throw kosh into the wind.
Connoisseur is like French and aficionado is like Italian
yeah. I'm gonna throw kosh into the wind.
Okay. We're not going to relitigate kosh into the wind.
I'm going to throw. You got. See, look at my hand. I got a kosh right here.
See your hand.
Jesse, stop looking at his hand. Dan, I started this conversation by saying I did not want to throw us off fucking topic.
I just want to say I've got this kosh in my hand and it's windy outside. And so I'm going to throw it into the wind. I'm going to throw kosh into the wind.
Yes, it has been windy. Yeah.
We all understand that you misunderstood at one point in your life.
I have kosh and I'm going to throw it into the wind.
We understand that this was an issue, but then ceased being an issue. You needn't worry about it anymore.
Okay, I'm not entirely wrong by saying that you claim to be an expert. I am not. You're saying that I'm 100% wrong, and I say I'm mostly right.
I'm not
right.
saying you're wrong. I'm saying I'm asserting that I am not an expert on toast, but I am an aficionado on toast. I think that the distinction
Second word.
I think the distinction is sufficient. I also think that connoisseur is different. I would consider myself a connoisseur as well as an aficionado. I am not, however, an expert. I have no certifications.
Okay, well, I think my point doesn't change either way. Like, what I'm saying, okay, you can be an aficionado or a connoisseur of bread, but of toast, no, I disagree. Okay. It's just fucking toast.
That's your loss, in my view. Your loss. Okay.
There's only so many ways you can make toast. I suppose it's an infinite number of ways because there's an infinite amount of
cooking is all about subtlety.
I suppose it's not toast. We'll save that.
Well, I'm in the. I say something and like you're immediately like, well, no, I don't know. I'm like.
I just want to talk about Star Trek.
Hear me out. There's an infinite spectrum of temperatures that you can have. And so in that way, you can make toast as however you want. But that's about it.
Okay, great. Star Trek, the show. What did you think of this show?
We're going to save that.
What did you think of this show?
I liked it.
I liked it.
It was another exciting episode.
I liked it. And we'll continue to talk about the ins and outs of it.
Lots of funny bits.
I don't know. Well, maybe by the end of the episode, I'll have a better way to verbalize it. But
were you not entertained?
No, I was very entertained. It just, I don't know, felt a little slight. It felt like stuff we'd seen before, I guess. Very well done. Very well performed, well animated, clever. I liked all the orb stuff. Like, I really liked some, and there's tons of funny lines.
So the
I liked the episode.
The plot
felt a little empty to me.
Yeah, I liked. Like I mentioned already, I like the visuals of the cubes and the spheres and the laser beams, and they were like blue and orange. It was like a colorful, reminded me of like Nintendo or Tron or some shit like that. And did you know that when they went when the room was all trashed, there was that goo on the wall? It was all pixelated.
Yeah.
It was some pixelated.
Because it was cube semen.
Yeah, it was all. And so look at.
I was actually going to ask, do you have any clever words or phrases for cube semen? Because, you know, you got like baby batter or gentleman's relish.
I'm not getting into this.
That's for humans, though. Like, or for
polygon
meat
paste.
People. Okay, well, yes, exactly.
Yeah, totally.
All right, okay. I think I have the answer to my question. Polygon paste. Gross.
Yeah. Anyway, I was looking at it and I was thinking of either Nintendo or Minecraft, like the all pixely. But yeah, you think they stated it outright. They didn't say it was semen, did they?
Yes. At the end, the implication, the strong textual implication was that.
But they never said it.
They said
early. The captain was like, maybe he sneezed on the wall.
Yeah, that's what they sneezed.
Yeah, but at the end of the episode, they're all talking about how
it was not sneeze.
he's a generous lover or a vigorous lover, whatever it was. What was it? Fun time lover.
He's a fun time lover.
He's my good time boy.
He's an eager lover.
An eager lover, yes. And then he talks about, they said, you should clean up your mess. Ew, I touched it. And he said, making a mess is part of our kink.
Yeah.
So clearly that was intended to be a big splurt of, what was it called? Polygon paste?
I remember all those lines, but like, I don't think they ever really explicitly said that it was semen. I mean,
I'm shocked that you did not interpret
cube
that.
Cube cream.
I'm not saying I didn't interpret
as an
it
as explicit
a,
interpretation.
I interpreted it as a possibility. I never really assumed that was what they said.
Well, what would be an alternative?
Alternative to what?
Well, they're talking about making a mess.
People get rowdy when they have sex. You know, and there's like
what other stuff is
and
coming
and like
out?
There's like sweat and stuff like that.
So you think that was just a sweat splurt on the wall?
I didn't say that it was anything. I've just said like people can do all sorts of crazy shit when they're having. Maybe they had some kind of Vaseline or something. You know,
it goes. It's like the pornography.
And it was square.
It's semen. Semen is one of those things where it's like I know.
Square skeets.
You know it when you see it.
Why isn't anybody glowing?
Square skeets.
It can be hard to describe, but you know it when you see it, especially when it's on the fucking wall.
That's what it is. That's semen.
Oh, is that like being naked?
Yeah, I did enjoy some of the minimal but deep world building for the orbs and cubes, including that the orbs at least feel naked when they're low on energy,
and
the cubes are calling them 2D. They're like, we're not 2D.
Do you witness me at my dullest?
Yeah,
at my dullest.
You're right. Like, I wasn't as into it as maybe some of the other episodes. I just really liked the aesthetic of the episode.
I enjoyed it.
And I don't know. So there's something about like
it had a lot of funny bits.
And there's something about, you know, sentient like shapes floating around that I've already kind of said. It's
the
something
concept
about
is hilarious.
Something
there was lots of puns.
Something about that idea really like tickles me. I don't know.
Article
why.
10 was too round. But what did they do about Article 8?
Oh, good question.
I was like, what? What about
it's an inconsistency?
There was I loved, like, I already mentioned how abstract it was, but for example, when they were talking about like this, the spheres are offended because there's all these edges around.
Yeah,
now. She's like, it's a starship, it's full of edges.
Yeah.
Like, it's such an abstract joke to make. Yeah. I don't know. It's like, yeah, I guess there are.
I dig it.
It's like it's exactly that joke when she said that. I think I don't know if I have that line, but when Freeman said that, like it's a starship, it's full of all kinds of edges. That was kind of like when Ransom said, like, oh my gosh, they're not creative at all. It's just like,
yeah,
it's these really sort of broad, abstract, funny jokes. They kind of made me think a little bit.
No, there was a lot. There was a lot funny in this episode, but one thing that's not funny. One thing that we do have to kind of take seriously. Yeah, we got
to
stick to the podcast format.
It's time to
take a break.
It's time to take a break.
Time to take a what?
Time to take a break. But before you play your little fancy little sound clip that you got all lined up there.
Break yourself.
Dan's all like, I've got my special going to break sound clips. Before you break out that sound clip.
Holograms?
Just to keep people listening through the break. Because we want you to listen all the way to the other end of the break and come back.
Holograms?
We do have another brief fun 'em up.
Yeah.
Or
the fun never
conjure
stops.
Them up coming up. And the keywords for this fun them up, just to give you a clue what it's going to be about, there are two keywords: things and butts.
Prepare to be bounced upon.
Indeed. Things and butts when we get back from the break, which will be soon. It'll be just in just a moment, all right? We'll be right back.
Come on, clean up after yourselves.
We're back.
All right, Jesse said we're back. I thought I
leaving
was
leaving a mess
say,
is part beat, of our
I,
kink.
I beat you to it, Kiki.
I thought I was going to say it, but this guy said it. That's fine.
Was this Jack Quaid?
Leaving a mess is part of our kink.
It was, yes. Jack Quaid, Carl Tart did the voices, and I think some of the other people.
Yeah, it did sound like it was regular folks.
Yeah, all the regular cast
extra
and crew
voices.
This is what I was talking about Freeman before the break. This is what she said.
Do you have any idea how many edges are on a starship?
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, and then
sharp business.
There was another line that was similar to that had that same setup. So she said that, and she says this.
Do you have any idea how many edges are on a starship?
And then they said this.
Do you know how humiliating that is?
It's like the same setup.
Yeah.
And there was two other ones, too. There was Mariner had two other ones.
Two other ones?
Mariner said this.
I wouldn't call myself low status.
And she said,
I mean, I don't know if anybody would call me normal.
See, it was like the same setup. She did that twice.
Note that was not the fun 'em up. That was just that was a Dan list 'em up.
That was a fun 'em up.
Sound effects list 'em up.
Yeah. Right.
Are you done with that business? I'm just checking.
Yeah, I guess so.
You look intent. You're moving around.
I was
around.
Trying to decide if I wanted to play the Ransom one again, but we don't have to.
Well, it's just like watching your fingers play across your tablet is like watching Mozart play the harpsichord in front of the Emperor of Austria.
It's pretty intense.
Similar.
You know what? It's just a bigger orb and a bigger cube. They're not creative at all.
Do you have any idea how many edges are on a starship?
Yeah, it's those two lines. I thought those complemented each other well, even though they were different parts of the episode.
All right. And I agree.
Chief O'Brien.
Fun 'em up. Things and butts.
Oh, man. What?
Things and butts.
Things and butts and butts and butts.
So, towards the end of this episode, in heroic fashion.
Those cheeks are going to be for days.
In heroic fashion, Boimler. Boimler, which, and we haven't talked about his sort of B story yet. We'll get to that. Don't worry. But he does.
Boimler's
he beast. Does end up with a lightning bolt.
It was more like a lightning blorp.
Yeah, lightning blorp. Because it is funny that Ollie has these floppy lightning bolts.
Yeah, they're floppy.
But his
was actually solidified.
It was a little bit more difficult.
Yeah, her bolts were all blorbs were all floppy. But then when they pulled it out of his butt, they were all cubular. They weren't like
rocks.
Yeah, they were like rocks
crystals,
that fell.
Crystals.
Yeah, it was weird. It was a weird makeup.
Maybe when they make contact with
maybe those were
biological flesh.
Yeah, what are you talking about? What are you talking about?
I often wonder.
But this episode, I believe, I didn't double check on Memory Alpha or anything. This may be the first time we see somebody get something stuck up their butt.
What?
Now, we've seen We've seen Gul Dukat sit on a rock. Like that had a spiky
Gold
bit and it was like into his butt cheek, but the
right.
implication was not that it went up the butt.
He liked
I guess it was intended as comical. It's a bit of a cheap laugh to have Boimler get a lightning bolt up the butt, but it was funny.
Colorful.
But it did
somebody's got to.
It did make me think about other famous Star Trek objects
in people's butts?
But like, what would be the most problematic of the Star Trek objects to get, unfortunately,
a Borg
put
cube
up your butt? A Borg cube. All right. I was thinking something more
like, oh, that sucks.
Data's head.
I was thinking along the lines,
this is not a good idea.
Like a communicator.
Tricorder.
Or a tricorder, yeah.
Tricorder is bigger.
The Darbulus!
Or how about a self-sealing stem bolt?
Communicator is very like sharp. It's got those three sharp edges.
Well, it depends on the communicator, because you're thinking a TNG.
You could get a Q stuck up your butt.
Yeah.
Self-sealing stem bolt could be potentially.
A Q can go wherever it wants.
I mean, that's true.
Especially if it self-seals your asshole.
Yes, that's right. That's what the self-sealing is all about. There's all the bottles, Canar bottle.
Or what if you had
Sorian
one of those
brandy?
Or what were those? The exo.
Romulan
you could have an exocomp shove one of its tools in you. Not a whole exocomp, just a. This is we're getting into like some PG-13 territory here.
Well,
is this blue?
It's too we blue. Have a. There's a disclaimer.
We saw Boimler get a lightning bolt up his butt.
Wait, hold up. To go where?
Yeah, and it, like his butt all like poked.
And I honestly didn't know what to think of it, because it was like, you know, it's like, it's funny. The joke was funny.
Is it Redarbulus?
But I don't know. It was a little...
Redarbulus!
Silly.
But I mean, okay, what about that orgy they had? And you saw like...
That was funny.
One of them was like spread eagle, and it, you know, like had a sensor mark, and it was spread eagle, and there was very obviously something very explicit going on.
Yeah, and that was vulgar for the point of being vulgar, and I appreciated that.
Yeah, you're right. We're totally different.
I'm not critiquing it. I think it's a funny joke. I mean, especially the punchline to the joke where Ta'ana becomes endeared to him because of that, and then everyone's watching him get his lightning bolt surgically removed. I don't know. It's just not the most creative thing in the world, I guess.
So you didn't like this episode very much?
No, I liked the episode. I'm just saying it just felt a little, there was like
low effort in some of the jokes?
I don't want to say low effort, because I think a tremendous amount of effort was put in. And actually, a lot of the jokes are good. I think part of it is that the...
It is a lot of laughs.
You think that some of the bluer jokes are just kind of like not that good?
I guess what I'm trying to conceptualize it this way, or trying to convey what I'm thinking this way. This is what I was thinking about all during the break. This is what I was thinking about. I was thinking about things that you could put in buttholes and the issues with the structure of this particular episode.
You have been intimate with a cube?
I think that the plot, and this is not just this episode, I think we've seen a few episodes now like this, where the core plot is not particularly interesting.
No, it's not. It is not that interesting.
It's a very old plot, and even something that Lower Decks has done before. So you have an A plot where Mariner needs to learn a lesson about whatever. Now, the actual plot, it does make sense in the overall character arc that Mariner's taking over the course of the series. It is the logical conclusion that now she is learning how to operate in a mentor role.
So, right.
That all makes sense. Mm-hmm. But it is, I don't know, it's just very straightforward. Now, the jokes they get to make off of it, I think, are great. I think there's lots of jokes and humor that come from it. It's just that core thread is
so
a little bit of a rehash.
I think, and that, under the point you were saying about Mariner becoming in more of like a mentor role, like she took to Ollie because she felt like a connection with her, like almost like a kindred spirit type of deal,
there,
right?
There are some similarities.
And so she kind of sees Ollie as sort of a misunderstood, outside the box thinker that's had problems with authority.
Right. And she even assumes that.
Yeah.
And she doesn't know this person.
And this line she said to Ollie at one point.
Yeah, you're right. We're totally different.
Like, so
Ollie was saying line for line what Mariner says at the end of the first episode.
But it's also
the series.
But it also kind of seems like she doesn't want to be seen as her equal. Like the lines I played earlier, the two lines Mariner said, I'll just play them one more time.
One more time.
I wouldn't call myself low status.
And then there was,
I don't know if anybody would call me normal. No.
Yeah, so both of those lines, it was Ollie says, how about us, Mariner and I are low status enough to fly under the radar. Mariner says, I wouldn't call myself low status. Ollie says, later on, she says, and no, I don't have any magic powers. I'm normal like you. And Mariner's like, I don't know if I'm normal. Yeah. So even though she feels like she's like their kindred spirits, she almost doesn't she almost feels a little offended by being put on the same level of, as her, I think. Because, and then there's also, but then it's also, so in that way, she kind of like is trying to rise above. There's that part where she's waiting to meet up with her and she comments on how Ollie is late too as well. So and like, that's a very un-Mariner. So there's kind of a conflict there between like her connecting with this rambunctious person, but then she's also worried about her being on time.
Well,
and
that's
stuff
because
like that.
What the conflict is born of is, again, this is what makes sense narratively from the 5-season arc, is that Mariner is not now trying to just get out of her rut as a ensign who keeps fucking up. Now she wants to be a mentor. She knows that she's now a leader. She's been promoted, and the next step is that she's got to be a mentor. And by the way, that she can be a really excellent mentor. But in the process, she's learning that you can't be both. She's trying to be like, we're like friends, and I'm going to be your mentor.
So,
that's why she makes those stresses out. I am special and I am superior to you.
And I think that's one of the things that this episode did well, because like it wasn't just it wasn't just a straight flip from now I'm like, you know, a crazy and now I'm like the you know, really responsible mentor. It didn't just jump, like there's sort of an intermediary phase, and I think that's that exploration is at least a little bit like that was well done in the episode.
I agree. I actually get the impression that, I mean, what the fuck do I know, right? I will always defer to the expertise of professional writers. But I kind of get the vibe, like they're like, okay, there's a couple things we need to do to get the character to the next place. So we will do it well, but we also know that it's just, you can kind of see what's happening the whole time. But it is good. It's all, again, it's well portrayed. And there's lots of great humor that does come out of it. Because the Ollie character, the whole demigod thing, that's funny.
She's a demigod? What's it like being a demigod?
TAS?
A TOS, I believe. Like, you know, who mourns for Adonis. Then just sort of the generic, like, oh yeah, gods are just aliens kind of thing.
Right. So actually, speaking of TOS, TAS, so there's an interesting uncharacteristic technobabble scene in Lower Decks. Not that they don't do it, but they don't do a lot of it. Yeah. There was a lot of...
Unless it's a joke.
Yeah, there's a lot of TNG kind of stuff. This is sort of a side thought. I was just thinking about like last week there was the handle for like the turbo lift. Their conference room looks just like the TNG conference room. There's I think there was something else that I had, but I can't remember.
All right.
But the technobabble.
Side talk over.
Side talk. I swear there was
back to what's the opposite of side? Like middle talk?
Back talk.
Oh, I know what else there was. There was this. There's a TNG doorbell.
But I always dig the old TNG door.
The old TNG.
Come.
Polygon pace.
I had a professor that would say that.
So, okay.
Hey, Jesse, was that just after hours? Was that like,
it was
on
hours. The clock.
So the technobabble part was like, Ollie goes, wait, I can reconfigure the ship's tractor beams so that'll work on a photonic signature. And then Shaq says, which I have a really hard fucking time typing Shaq's out. I always fuck it up.
There's two X's, right?
It's XS.
Oh, XS. Yeah.
And it fucks me up. My fingers are not used to those orders of letters. Then Shaq says, tractor beams are for tractoring. And then Ollie says, I can direct an electromagnetic field into the nacelles. And Billup says, which would weaken the photonics and charge our shields at the same time. The most technobabble Lower Decks has ever gotten. But TOSTAS, at that point, Ollie runs towards the console, like towards the foreground, in a way that was reminiscent to me of the TAS.
Like the silhouette running?
Not the silhouette background running, when they're running.
Oh, just the
sideways? When they're running towards the camera.
Oh, okay, I got you.
Where
I
it looks
you.
Like they're kind of standing still. Yeah. I don't think they were trying to like imitate that, but
why not?
I saw
Maybe
that.
They were. Let's just say they were. Give them credit.
There was music that was sort of reminiscent of TAS. It wasn't exact quotes, but it was a similar kind of adventure soundtrack kind of writing.
Adventure soundtrack, TAS.
Speaking of Q, I was talking about Q earlier.
Were you?
Oh, because we were asking about funny things to put in our butts, and I said Q was my first answer. Mariner points out at one point...
You're going to put Q in your butt?
Mariner points out that Qs are...
I just thought, you know, just give your statement the appropriate fanfare.
Thank
From
you.
TAS.
So,
I don't get it.
So at one point.
Yeah?
I don't get it.
You have your hand like on the button.
Come Holograms?
Indeed. All right.
So,
holograms.
Q points out. Q points out. Mariner points out.
I'm sorry. I did not mean to like throw you off.
Okay.
That was an accident.
Then you, why do you keep doing it?
I'm not trying to throw you off. This is the danger music. All right.
Chili rellenos.
But with the spice taken out.
Ew.
Which is hilarious. That's a brilliant joke because it's like there's no point to that dish without the spice.
They're always having like some taco salad or some kind of, you know, stuff
it's
like that.
It's the Cerritos.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So, okay, the line was, Mariner says about Q, she says, to be fair, Qs are more annoying than scary. First of all, it is true. It's Qs are more annoying than scary, but it's kind of funny to think about like an omnipotent, omnipowerful being that's not really terrifying. Yeah. He's just kind of pesky. And I mean, that's not news, but it's just kind of funny to think of it that way because that should be fucking terrifying.
It's also a funny proposition from, I don't know, I guess it would be a philosophical standpoint if you have a thought experiment, because I think oftentimes people are like, okay, what would happen if you truly were, like in the mathematical sense, a being that had infinite knowledge and or infinite power? What would that mean? And a lot of people have posited, oh, you would simply become inert because there would be like no point
in
anything.
Yeah, there's nothing to do.
Other people have posited that you would be cruel and capricious and make universes blip in and out of existence at your whim.
Blip, blip, blip.
But I like the idea that Star Trek implicitly, not necessarily on purpose or consciously, but implicitly suggests with the Q that you just become sort of like a curious, mildly aggravating sort of like elf creature, sort of trolloping around the universe, just annoying people. Trelane on TOS is another kind of proto Q, it's a similar kind of thing where it's just like, I'm just going to have fun. Just goof around. I don't want to cause any real trouble. Although people do die. Q kills people. Like in Q Who, a bunch of people like actually die. Yeah.
Pesky Q. In that line, she said, Qs are more annoying than scary. Q, isn't it? Wouldn't it just be Q is more annoying than scary? Or would it be Q are more annoying than scary?
I think she means Q because I think...
But she says Qs, plural. And, and Q in the past has referred to the plural of Q is just Q, not Qs.
Of course. She's being somewhat irreverent.
She's just lower depths.
And so what I'm saying is if you change the, like, if you say Qs are, that makes sense. Like they are, it's the plural, right? Qs are. But like, if you just said Q are, if you just said Q, would you say Q are more annoying than scary? Or would you say Q is more annoying than
scary?
It
would depend if you were referring to the particular Q.
Well, she's referring to the plural.
Exactly.
So she'd say Q are.
You would say Q are.
Q are. It sounds like a funny, that's one of those times when the English language sounds all weird when it works like that.
I'm very delighted, by the way, that wasn't some really long way to get us into some sort of joke where the QR code was the punchline. Because as soon as you were saying that, I was like, oh no, Dan's tricked us again.
QR code?
Yeah, I thought you were going to be like,
I
was going to say, it should be, if you're talking about the plural, it should be QR. You'd be like, QR code.
I wouldn't have laughed. I would have just said it and then been quiet and then looked at both of you.
Well, whatever you would have done, it would have been a problem. It would have been one of those rare time to take an early break.
This guy's a handful.
All right. Yes. Anyway, what were we talking about? Q.
No. F off.
Hey,
QR codes.
When Tana says
no, f off.
There's a sensor beep, but there's also like the sound of like the cons, like the when you press the button and you can't do the action, it makes that noise.
Yeah.
The error sound.
Yeah, it's both the sensor noise and the error sound.
No, f off. No, f off.
You can barely hear it, but it's there. Yeah. It doubled up.
Well done.
That was well done on their part.
Yeah. Well done on your part for identifying it and having the forethought to capture that audio and relay it to our audience and to describe what's going on there.
Same for you, guy-looking guy.
All right. We're continuing this conversation.
Continuing the conversation, but first I'm going to vamp so we can figure out what to say.
No, you needn't do that.
Do we want to talk about how Ollie is like super unchill with everyone?
Yeah, actually, I was curious about that because I think another thing that threw me off a little bit about this episode is like I wasn't exactly sure what we were supposed to think about with Ollie, like how we were supposed to take it. Mm-hmm. Specifically, at the beginning, Ollie is introduced as balancing a bunch of what, circular things on something, on a sled?
Yeah. Circular furniture.
Yeah, she's the way she did it is she inverted the weight threshold. Like, what does that even mean? That means you take the threshold of the weight and you invert it. Does that mean it's pushing up instead of like taking it down? Does that mean the weight is pulling up on it instead of being pushing against it?
I was thrown off by this because it was sort of a non sequitur, and I can appreciate a good non sequitur, but a non sequitur kind of lives best if it's settled into the context of yes sequiturs, you know
what I mean? Yeah, totally.
You got a good structure, and you're like, this is what's going on, and then blam, you drop a non sequitur into it. I didn't see what was going. I was like, okay, round things on a slide. Okay, whatever. I'm not sure what we were supposed to get from this this character in being.
It have to do with because there were spheres and cubes, and so that spheres had don't have things.
Yeah, I was trying to think about that. I was like, but yeah, but it's round. I don't know.
Maybe it was a reference to some kind of things being balanced precariously in TNG or something.
Audience, write in to feedback@discussstartrek.com. If we're missing the joke, if you get the joke there, if the joke is anything beyond, she's a crazy gal who does wild stuff. I mean, I guess it's a form of engineering to stack shit up. It's a way to exercise that itch. I get that. I'm not sure if there was any joke beyond that.
Wasn't there something in the past about how they were trying to stack hexagonal things and they were having trouble? I don't know. Isn't this a TNG reference to weirdly shaped things in TNG's cargo bay?
I do have a vague recollection of what you're talking about.
But I'm not really sure. But that's the best I can. Even if that were true, though, it'd still be kind of a stretch. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. It's like, what?
To laugh about this later.
What's going on here? And you already played the tape of her yelling at the guy. Mm. What was the other one? A blue guy? Or I forget.
The guy.
And it's like, okay, so is she rude? Or later we realize, okay.
She was just trying to
she was in a rush because
she was trying to draw attention away from herself because she was because she'd been fucking so many things up, she thought that they were going to assume that she's the one who trashed the room. So she tried to push all the blame on him, but she ended up starting a war.
Yeah. And it's kind of not cool what she did. She's hiding evidence.
Right. She hid evidence and started a war and lied. And Mariner pointed out the hiding evidence and lying part, but then they decided to hire her, but just a knight in the brig. I mean, yeah. Whatever, it's
Starfleet. I get it.
It's funny, the Starfleet, that line about how she's said about, it's Starfleet, you give them 9 and they give you 1 or whatever that line was,
something along those lines.
Starfleet's kind of a 1 for me, 9 for them type deal.
Yeah.
Cuz it's true, whenever there's so many episodes in Star Trek where they're trying their hardest to please these aliens that are pissed off about everything, and the aliens are rude all day long.
I know, right?
And then not only are they rude all day long, they're yelling at Starfleet cuz the Starfleet people are trying to do the right thing, but then
they're crude but rude.
But they put their they like
No wait.
Starfleet is trying to do okay, it's, you're really distracting me.
I apologize, but I said it wrong, and I'm trying to remember the right way. My Raphael is a party. Cool, but how does it go?
I don't know, man.
You think is cool? Oh, cool but rude versus cool but crude. Okay, I got it. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I apologize. It was running around in there. Sorry.
So there's always an episode. There's often episodes of Star Trek where there's some kind of alien that's being super rude, and Starfleet's trying their best to please them.
You ate food in front of me.
And and they do something by accident because like a normal person would make a mistake. And instead of the aliens
you
being
wore the color pink,
and instead of the aliens being understanding and being oh, it's cool, at least you're trying, they get pissed off at them more. Meanwhile, the aliens don't even try to fit in with the Starfleet stuff. And that's
in our culture, we just shit on the floor.
And that's kind of what I took from that. I don't know what else that could be referring to when she said it's 1 for me, 9 for them kind of deal.
Well, I she was referring to Starfleet. I didn't take it to mean anything specific about the aliens, but rather just in Starfleet, you get to do some awesome stuff, but you've also got to do a bunch of bullshit. And most of the job is we're dealing with these crazy aliens. Tomorrow we'll be dealing with nebula that explodes.
See, I took it more as the Starfleet. They do all this good shit, but they don't get anything back from any of the other species.
Well, I don't agree because Mariner was speaking from the perspective of an individual that's part of Starfleet.
No, she was talking more as the concept of how Starfleet works.
I disagree
with you.
Write in at feedback@discussstartrek.com. Subject line, Patrick is right.
Patrick is wrong.
And then, no, you can assert that I'm wrong, but the subject line should say Patrick is right.
Darbulous!
but either way, so even though Ollie was trying to try to put the blame on someone else so they didn't get to her. Well, first of all, that's like a fucked up thing to do.
Yeah, yeah. Again, you know what it is? And it's one of those things where it's like you can look at her differently when you've seen the whole episode, but that's often problematic to be like, okay, in order to understand this character, you've got to watch the episode again.
Right, and like she was complaining that all her problems sort of stemmed from like her electric powers that accidentally short circuit everything. But like she's got deeper problems than just that. So it just so happens she makes poor decisions and she happens to fry everything she touches.
Yeah.
Which that was one of those things where the second time I didn't know, it was like you find out later that she zaps things and then when you rewatch it, I watched her zap all the things.
Yeah, you see all the little zappy bits come out.
Yeah, but she's like really being like super unchill. I'm not going to say him because actually it's a lot of shit, but I wrote down all the lines of Ollie being like jerky jerk.
Where do you think the name Ollie comes from? The cubes in the spheres, orb people, they all had clever names that were related to the fact that they were cubes or orbs. But Ollie, is it related to her being a god somehow? It's got to be come from somewhere. And I'm angry at myself for not figuring it out all by myself.
Don't worry. I believe in you.
Well, I guess neither of you have any suggestions as to where that name came from.
I have no idea. It's spelled O-L-L-Y.
Yeah. Anyway. Cool. All right.
But rude. Or crude.
But rude.
You're a silly dude.
Mm-hmm.
You're a silly dude. What I did like about Ollie was the engineering aspect. I thought that was cool. You know, I like the idea when they have characters that they do have a talent. She's not a fuck up. They presented her as a fuck up. It turns out, no, she's not a fuck up as long as you put her in the right position. That's just sort of like a management tip. It's like, make sure people are assigned to the right place.
Oh, it's obvious.
Of course, part of the problem with that is kind of going to what you're saying, Dan. Like, wouldn't they have figured this out before? Or clearly there's other issues going on too that are maybe preventing her from getting noticed. Because this is one of those things where it's like, first of all, they give Mariner credit for noticing her, right? But Mariner didn't notice her. Mariner just sort of said, okay, here's a person acting like an asshole. I used to act like an asshole. Mm-hmm. They must be just like me. Mariner even asserts that they're the same at the end of the episode, even though part of Mariner's lesson was that they're not the same exactly, or Mariner was making some assumptions and that Ollie's motivations and talents were different than Mariner's, and that as a mentor, what Mariner needed to learn is to accommodate those talents and those motivations, those assets and liabilities that are specific to Ollie. And once she starts doing that, that's, you know, it works out better.
I don't understand why Freeman was like trying to get rid of Ollie. Like, I understand why she would want to get rid of her, but she didn't have any grounds to dismiss Ollie at that point.
This is sort of what I'm getting at, is that, well, maybe she had grounds to dismiss Ollie.
Not
because
really.
Lynn listed what, the replicator incident, the transporter incident, like multiple, like you could say, you can always come up with a reason to fire somebody, I guess. And this was apparently what, the sixth ship that Ollie was on, right? So like, okay, they've told us reasons.
But like, just because it's the sixth ship she's been on, does that mean she has like less chance than
the
before?
Thing is, I agree with you, Dan. I agree with your implication anyway. Yes, they're telling us by way of setting up why she feels like she's in danger, right? If we're gonna like Ollie, we have to understand why she would hide evidence of what she thought was a murder. And as you noted, it's because she thought she was going to get kicked off of out of Starfleet, basically. And she didn't want to do that. So that's why she hid the stuff. Okay, fine. But
like her intentions, I guess, were good. But it was really fucking perverted and weird.
What I'm trying to get at, and I know we got to go on a break, but what I'm trying to get at is that I just don't buy that Starfleet would take this long to either kick her out or figure out where she should be. Right? She says she likes engineering. Mm-hmm. Why would they not try that out earlier? Or try, I don't know. I just, sometimes they're like, for the sake of the episode, they're make Starfleet management look incompetent, including in this case, Freeman. Like, why is Freeman so jumping to conclusions? And, you know, I don't know. I didn't like that aspect of it. I didn't.
It's because she's got one of those mats.
Which mats?
The jumping to conclusion mats.
All right. We will be right back.
What? What are we
doing? We're going to break. We're going to be right back.
No, leave me alone.
All right, we're back.
Whoa.
Whoa, check this out.
We checked it out indeed. Man, there's all sorts of stuff going on. This is
colorful.
Wild. This is wild.
Pure energy.
Pure energy indeed.
Extremely.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So Ta'ana speaks Kashan. Yes. Kashan is a Temerian.
Yes, Kashan is a Temerian.
But Ta'ana speaks Kashan.
Because she is a Kashan.
Right, but Kashan is a Temerian.
Yeah, Kashan is spelled Katian.
It's Katian.
Katian. Kashan. Kashan.
Ta'ana can get away with being like horribly violent because she's a cat, and that's kind of just what you sign up for with cats. Like that one when she was all scratching the shit at, when she was like scratching the shit out of Boimler.
Yeah.
And like under normal circumstances, you know, that would probably get you dismissed from Starfleet or something like that.
Yeah.
But she's a cat. And so like that's just kind of how cats
this
are.
This is one of the times on the show where she's like extra. She just goes like total cat.
Yeah. And, like, and you just have to deal with that.
Do all the cat.
You have to
moves.
Deal with that because that's just what cats do.
That's part of their culture.
Mm-hmm. So,
cat things.
I love cats.
I like cats.
Yes, you do. Anything else about the Mariner story before we can speak a little bit more in depth into the Boimler story? I just wanted to give ourselves an opportunity. If there were remaining things. We talked about Ollie. We talked about Mariner. We talked about mentorship.
I'm at my best when I'm engineering, not trying to be a Zeus.
Like she said, a Zeus.
Yeah. Well, that, again, like I said.
It's like when people say like, oh no, I saw a Dracula.
Yeah.
You say that.
Dr. Acula.
Yeah, Dr. I've heard that in two different places. They did it in the show Scrubs. They had a Dr. Acula reference. And then Mitch Hedberg, part of his routine, also had a Dr. Acula.
I remember it from Mitch Hedberg.
Yeah, I've seen him in both. In Scrubs, it was like JD's like story he was going to create called Dr. Acula because they're doctors.
Turkey, just be yourself.
Yeah, right.
Dr. Acula. Paging Dr. Acula.
Mr. Ehrman, paging Mr. Ehrman. Mr. Ehrman, paging Mr. Ehrman. Mr. Ehrman. Okay, Ollie, here are the mistakes she made in the episode, just real quick. All she put 100 pieces of circular furniture on a sled and it goes haywire, as we see. Mm-hmm. Then, number two, Freeman lets Mariner watch over Ollie and then her sled goes ka-changing around the scene. Like that scene, like when Mariner first hears about her, she's like flying through on the sled.
Yeah.
And then Talin said there was a turbo lift incident, a replicator incident, and a phaser incident. So that's implied.
Not a transporter incident.
That's an implied mistake that we didn't get to see. Ollie's holding some kind of handheld tractor beam at the end, and she zaps and everything ends up going bouncing away when she touches it.
It like knocks a bunch of people over.
And Talin says, you appear to have solved the unit's compression stability problems. This implies that this gadget already existed but never worked. Or is this just something Ollie was working on?
I believe Wesley Crusher at one point was making a mini tractor beam.
Oh, was that a reference to like, trouble with it or something?
Yeah, I have a vague recollection of Wesley making one of them.
This is Ollie related. There's a sort of that's an order, but not really.
All right.
So
let's hear it.
So
lay it upon us, Dan.
So she's stacking all that shit, and then Ollie says, "Who said I couldn't stack 100 pieces of circular furniture onto a single sled?" And then Ransom did. He says, "I did, and it wasn't a challenge. It was an order."
Yeah.
He said it was an order. Yeah. He didn't say that's an order.
Right.
He said it was an order, and I think that couldn't be better.
Yes.
Perfect. That's how you use the word order without sounding like, you know, cliched or trite.
No, yeah, absolutely.
Because he could have said like, you need to do this. That's an order. You know, push me off the cliff to save your life. That's an order. But he was just like, no, this is this thing I told you. It was an order, you know, so I'm down with that one.
And while I don't take it quite as seriously as you do, Dan, I have a similar bugaboo to the cliched use of that's an order. However, it never ceases to amaze me or to amuse me. The examples you come up with, I believe the example you just gave was push me off the cliff to save your life. That's an order.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love this scenario. It just immediately makes me start wondering what Starfleet scenario would it be like?
Sometimes.
Do they have a bomb in them? Did an alien squirt a bomb into them?
Sometimes someone just has to die.
Yeah.
You know?
Part of some ritual.
Was there a duty or crazy no ritual? Duty?
Yeah, any duties or no duties?
There was a duty or no duty.
Really?
But first, I have a question. Does this sound like when you're thinking about the word intermittent? Mm-hmm. Does it sound like they're saying intermittent here?
You have been intermittent with a cube?
Intimate.
I know, but if you're thinking about the word intermittent, I'm going to play it again. Okay, now, wait, so I'm going to play
keep,
it again.
You keep saying the word intermittent.
Okay, now.
And then you're going to make us try to think this.
Think it
as one of them auditory hallucinations.
Okay, intermittent. Okay, I'm going to play a sound.
All right.
You have been intimate with a cube? You have been intimate with a cube? You have been intimate with a cube?
Sounds like intimate to me.
Sounds like intermittent.
It sounds a little bit like intermit, but not intermittent.
I want to apologize for the intrusion.
Kermit.
It sounds like intermittent to me. Okay, but there is a duty or no duty.
Were you crazy?
Here's a duty. Oh, also, try to see if you can find the vocal fry.
Try to see if you can find the vocal fry.
I think just one person saying it would have been
enough. Sorry, I was just enjoying it because it sounded so cool.
Try
you're
to
just,
see
you're just
you
trying to,
find
just trying to butter
fry.
Me up. Okay, this is duty or no duty.
I assume she would have been removed from duty after the turbo lift incident.
Oh, duty.
Been removed from duty.
Oh, play it again.
Been removed from duty. I assume she would have been removed from duty after the turbo lift incident.
Oh.
Been removed from duty.
I think it might be a duty.
Uh-huh.
It sounds pretty duty.
That's pretty duty to me.
It's not 100% duty, but it sounds more duty than not duty.
It's the dutiest any Vulcan has ever been.
Been removed from duty.
Do you hear the vocal fry?
I assume she would have been removed from duty after the turbo lift incident.
There's a little bit of vocal fry.
Do you want to take a stab at impersonating it? Making a vocal fry sound.
I'm not good at it. I have to be. It has to be like right after I woke up.
Well, that's just like a throat. You have to. If you had a real vocal fry, you should be able to do it anytime.
I smoked
a lot of cigarettes.
Oh my god!
I smoked a lot.
Oh, puff, puff.
Yeah. Oh, that sucks.
That was scary. You freaked me out.
All right.
Motherfucker.
It sounds like we've largely concluded our discussion of the A plot. We can always bring up more if more comes to mind.
Squaren. We will work together to forge the Treaty of Squaren.
That's me.
But.
You said butt.
But.
Like Boimler's butt.
Like Boimler's butt.
Or bearded Squaren,
bearded Boimler. Rutherford called the other Boimler Boimler.
Bearded Boimler's butt. So Boimler is continuing this arc, which I guess
it's actually just Beard Boimler. It's not Bearded Boimler. It's Beard Boimler.
Look, on the show, it's Beard Boimler. Outside of the show, in the fandom, it's Bearded Boimler, because that's funny.
Prepare to be bounced upon.
So, Bearded Boimler.
Beard Boimler.
This arc he has, with a joke, of course, is the beard slowly growing in and becoming more and more ridiculous, like where it's thick in some places and not thick in others.
Oh, is that like being naked?
But this I enjoyed. I enjoyed this story because I'm liking this season-long arc of Boimler wanting to model himself after the alternate universe version of himself.
And then Rutherford actually, for the first time, someone points out the fact that he has the alternate universe pad, and it implies that Rutherford's just known this whole time. He just never said anything.
Yeah. Well, it's red.
And they're cool.
Yeah,
Tenney knew it as well.
But both of them noticed the bevel
more than the color.
He said Rutherford noticed it was 3.7 something, or it's 5.7.
1.21.
Oh, what was it? The bevel is
like
3.7% deeper, and she was just said it's way wider.
Yeah,
and
she was like twins.
And he was like, Boimler was like, it's red.
So he's got this thing where he wants to model himself after this other version of himself. What we don't know, right? We don't know exactly what the deal is with alternate universe Boimler. He seemed pretty cool in the episode. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people online think he's sinister. There's going to be some twist pulled with that. Maybe. I would be perfectly satisfied if the arc is just Boimler. Again, it's sort of a classic story of like becoming fascinated with a mirror version of yourself, literally. Like, you know, it's sort of like staring at yourself in the mirror prevents you from living life. Well, maybe Boimler is preventing himself from living life by trying to mimic this other Boimler. Who knows? I don't know. Ooh. I don't know exactly where they're going to go with it, but I've been enjoying it in part because I think it's kind of interesting and surprising might not be the best word, but I don't know exactly what's going to happen next week with it.
We can literally see a character grow throughout the season.
Literally.
With his face.
Literally. We can see him grow. Literally.
I'm just enjoying.
We can see him grow. Literally.
I'm enjoying the process.
I don't get it.
You don't get it.
I don't get it.
Of seeing these little bits and pieces where, you know, he's fighting Klingons and enjoying it. And just in this week, he's got, you know, this obsession with getting T'Ana to get him a nickname.
I'm sure flipping through this medical book will be insightful. Love to flip
which is
each
fun.
Page to see what knowledge awaits me. I think you mean how flipping stupid it is.
It's unusually long clip.
That was three clips. That was three of them.
Oh, it was three separate clips.
Yeah, it was three.
And then he actually flips.
Yeah, it was. That was all the time he talked about flipping.
It's a funny logic to say, okay, this guy made friends with T'Ana, so if I make friends with T'Ana in a similar fashion, and the evidence of friendship being nickname, okay.
Evidence!
That's sort of a sitcom logic a little bit, but I'm fine with that.
He wanted to be a part of a book club.
Yes,
I'm assuming
for social reasons.
I'm assuming it's a status
thing.
It's a
bridge book club.
Yeah.
I forgot that he was part of the bear pack. Shax's bear pack.
Yeah, he's an honorary
so
member.
Is Rutherford.
But that's nothing compared to being in the book club. I just realized that when you were like, that was a really long clip, Dan, and I was like, it was three clips. That was actually a compliment you gave me. Unwittingly, you gave me
bears.
A compliment. I linked those three sounds together so well that you thought it was one long sound.
Yeah.
Continue.
Your voice is one long sound.
Sweet potential energy.
This human is full of words.
This boy's got a lot to say.
Oh, this human is full of words.
Oh.
We're dangerous. I'm not joking, Lee.
Yes, we're certainly becoming so. Yeah, okay.
Bilana's on it.
It was a good arc. A lot of good jokes in that. I mean, again, it's not much happens in this episode other than this all the T'Ana stuff.
I want to know about that blood. Like, what color is Ferengi blood?
Which blood?
There was that, they had the blood rainbow when T'Ana and Tendi were like checking out the
rainbow,
blood. And Tendi was like, this is full of
I totally didn't notice that.
Yeah, it was, there was, because like Tendi was like talking about something about blood and she's like, just need some Ferengi blood. And then T'Ana was basically like, don't touch this, it's full of like viruses and shit.
Okay, I remember hearing that.
Yeah,
that,
yeah
I
she
didn't
has
know
something
about the blood rainbow.
The actual line was
because I'm really intrigued by this concept. I'm sad that I missed it on both of my watch throughs.
Yes,
the concept of a blood rainbow is fascinating in Star Trek, with the green Vulcan blood and the pink Klingon blood,
right,
and the deep red human blood.
Right. So it starts with Tendi says,
"Kidding,"
and then she goes, "If we got some Ferengi blood, we'll have an entire rainbow."
Andorian blood's presumably blue.
And then T'Ana says, "Yeah, a rainbow of death. This stuff's riddled with viruses."
Yeah.
So yeah, I want to know if those were actually all those bloods were actually different, like were in canon blood.
I guess it could be.
I think they must have been, but I didn't look at it. That's my mistake. Yeah. My attention wasn't drawn to her.
I'm gonna look up.
Did she like fan out a bunch of blood samples?
I think they were in like beakers or something.
Beakers? Yeah.
Or something.
Vials.
That's the word I was looking for. What color is Ferengi blood?
Blood. I'm in your blood.
In Star Trek, Ferengi blood is yellow, but it turns dark blue-green when it oxidizes. That's a really fucking like specific detail.
Interesting.
That it's yellow, but it oxidizes blue-green.
Now, guys.
Is that memory alpha or memory beta?
Is it
we shouldn't trust it. It's AI overview. I didn't realize
that.
No, but the star. Okay, no, but this is from Starbase 118 Wiki.
All right.
So, like, what? How could this come up in any plot where we would need to know that Ferengi blood is yellow until it oxidizes? How would that come up in an episode? What kind of plot would require that information?
I think it's sufficient just to be like, it's fine. I think it's fine.
What do you mean?
I mean, I think it's like it can be like character depth. It's fine.
But it's like, why would that come up in conversation?
Well, it doesn't have to come up in conversation. It can just be like the fact of the matter. That's like a cool little factoid. It's like
factoid. That didn't come up in any episode ever. It just exists.
Well, no.
It's just science.
I'm agreeing with you that I'm hoping it's come up in an episode or at the very least has come up in some prominent novels or comic books or something. Some sort of
Yeah, and thing. I'm wondering in what circumstance in an episode would that information come to the surface?
And I'm suggesting that there are many little factoid fun bits of info that are just put in there for the sake of being like, oh, that's fun.
It just seems like
a weird thing. That's a clever thing. That's a little trivia.
It just seems a little complicated to slip in there. It seems like a lot of effort. Like, I can understand how the color of their blood would come in, but the fact that it oxidizes to a different color, I find that I'm having a hard time picturing how that would sort of enter into the episode.
Just for the audience, a quick note, if you ever had any question as to whether or not we had Star Trek bona fides, I think Dan, taking this very seriously, and he's being sincere, by the way, shows that we are true Star Trek fans because we are being very pedantic and specific about something like this.
That was a really weird, circuitous, like, put down. It's
not a put down.
Or is it? That's not negging, is it?
No, it's not negating. I'm not treating you poorly in an effort to.
You were
get
just
you
like you
me.
Basically said, Dan, you're being pedantic. Shut up! But in the way you said it, you said it in a really complimentary way. But it was clever what you did. What you did.
No, see, you're trying.
Just know you're not fooling anyone.
No, you're trying to insult me by complimenting me because you're asserting that I insulted you. And attempted to do
well. You're just looking too deeply into this.
Tricky, but that's not what happened.
Just be yourself.
I was merely comedically pointing out that we're nerds, right? Sometimes people are listening to It's Got Star Trek and they're like, these guys are so cool.
This is my annoyed voice.
We just want people to know we are not cool. We're total nerds. I know.
And that's not the only problem I have to deal with today.
We come off as super cool. I know. I get it. I can get how you'd be fooled, but don't be fooled.
I've been there.
We're total nerds.
I'm a robot.
And Jesse is indeed a robot.
I am sick of these lying, disgustingly rounded arms.
All right, anyway, this is silly. What about Boimler stuff? Bearded butthole Boimler.
Oh, I wanted to mention real quick about Shaxx. Speaking of Shaxx, when they were looking at the table, I'm sorry, this is kind of a callback to a previous thing, but when they were in the messed up room and he was looking at the table for the vid screen, I liked how
The Energon cube jizz.
Yeah, I liked how his nose rested on the table like a shelf. If you go back, watch that scene where he's looking for the vid screen, he puts his face way up to the table and it's just his nose going over the table.
He's just looking at it all super close.
Yeah, and it's just his nose like it's resting on a shelf. I just had to put that out there because I don't know, it tickled me when I saw it. I was like, ooh, look at that nose.
Tickle you.
This show is great. This show gets, they do so
you
much
are
awesome
really
with the animation.
You are really full of yourself about this podcast, Patrick.
Oh,
I'm full of myself?
About this podcast. Fuck you. You're always talking about how great this podcast is.
No. You know I wasn't talking about this show as in the show we were producing. I'm talking about the show, Star Trek Lower Decks. No, it's really amazing what they're able to do because, okay, here's another example of it in this episode. Ollie is yet another consistent example of them not doing what a lot of animated shows do and stick to a very basic set of body shapes and types.
Oh, yeah, right.
Lower Decks has all sorts of body shapes
and
types.
I've said that twice now, and both times you made me out to be a pervert for suggesting that.
No.
I don't believe I did because I think we've commented frequently how awesome it is that Lower Decks does it. Lower Decks does it better than any of the modern Star Treks. Discovery is good at it too, but Lower Decks like really goes out of their way.
I wish I knew which episode it was, but I know for at least one of them, it was the first time I brought up the fact that I liked that they had different body types for people. You kind of gave me this like look and you kind of made this intimation about like what I was.
Because it was funny to do that. Mm. It was, but
he likes to fuck with you.
I'm sure in the context of the show, and one of our audience members can write in and tell us which episode that was. feedback@discussstartrek.com. Yeah, they will. They'll know it off the top of their head. They'll be like, oh yeah, that was episode 172. I'm sure in that context I meant it to be hilarious. And
oh, is that like being naked?
I have a high degree of confidence that in that context it was hilarious.
It was absolutely.
It was probably hilarious. But no, I really like the different body types. And
I like those bodies too.
Well, yes, Ollie is she's thick with two C's.
Oh yeah, she's pretty thick
and awesome, right? And
she's a demigod.
Well, you know, a lot of
she seemed all self conscious about her laurels. Like, they were, what are they, were like bio something or other.
Yeah,
bioluminescent construct.
Yes.
The internet is all a Twitter.
The Twitter is a Twitter. The Blueski is a Twitter.
Yeah, well, most people are hanging out on Blueski now, but
the Blueski is a Twitter.
The social
the
media
blue
sphere.
Ski is literally a Twitter. It's not a Twitter. It's a Twitter because it's like Twitter.
I get what you're saying. Yeah. You're boring Jesse. He's
yeah, Jesus, Jesse. Like, What's going on over there, man?
Jesse is just indicating.
I'm just making noise.
He'd prefer we get back to talking about Star Trek.
Yeah, I know. What's up with the noises?
Sort of riffing on this social media nonsense.
Is the noise really, is it really beneficial to like the podcast making a bunch of random noises?
Yes.
What I was talking about was there's a lot of thirstiness, a lot of Ollie thirstiness on the internet from a number of quarters, which I think is just fine. But I do, again, like that we are seeing a variety of people, which is great.
There were people with their hair covered and people with like various types of head wraps I noticed in the crew.
Yeah, no, again, Lower Decks has been really at the forefront of that in terms of modern Star Trek, even better than Discovery, which I think Discovery's done a pretty good job. But anyway, all right, Boimler, did we get rid of? Did we talk through all the Boimler stuff? Oh, I did like there was a quote about Boimler. It was when towards the end, you know, Boimler's all freaking out and he's doing all this stuff with Ta'ana, and Tendi says, "What's wrong with Boimler?"
Yeah.
And Rutherford says, just the usual stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, and again, that's part of what helped out this particular plot line, because both the Boimler and the Mariner plot line are sort of things we've seen from them before. Mm. But that in the Boimler plot line, they explicitly reference it twice. When Rutherford says just the usual stuff, is sort of referencing generically that Boimler gets in his own head and causes problems for himself.
Chili Rienos.
But they also referenced it earlier when they were like, was it Tendi maybe referenced it? We're talking about the Hawaiian thing, because remember there was that episode where Boimler pretended to be Hawaiian because he thought that since Ransom, you know, was hanging out with all the Hawaiian people, that he could hang out with him, right?
Didn't you learn this with the whole Hawaii thing?
Yeah,
but this is different. Beard Boimler is me.
Yeah, exactly. He was provided some logic as to why it was different.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you buy into it or not, that's a different thing. But the ending of this story also was different, because in that, the moral of the lesson was, don't pretend to be something that you're not. Mm. And the moral of this story was, very hilariously, that yes, you can totally steal.
Yeah.
You can crib your, what was it that Tendi said?
Yeah,
she
said,
your personality from your alternate self.
She said, you can't just crib your personalities from a stolen pad.
But you can. Yes, we can, as Rutherford said.
Flipping. Flip. Flipping. Flip.
So
flipping,
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 flip, flip, flipping,
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 flip, 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 flip,
flipping,
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 flip, 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 flip.
This is kind of like playing Simon. But
flip, 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 flip.
Somehow more anxiety producing.
flip.
But yeah, this plot line, again, a bit of a rehash of what we've seen Boimler do before, but but unlike the Mariner one, they kept it a little bit more surprising, a little unpredictable. It was a funny ending. And of course, it's always great to see Boimler acting the fool and getting in his own way.
Yeah, I like he was talking about practicing. He's like, the flipping worked in the low gravity room or whatever. It's like, it worked when there was no gravity. You remember that time in that episode when that thing, when they said that thing and it was funny?
And it was no gravity.
Yeah. Do you remember that? Oh, I just for shits and giggles, you want to hear the Ta'ana voice message she left for Beard Boimler?
Sure.
Hey, Flips, whenever you're done f-ing yourself, hit me back. Till then, f- you.
She's cursing more, as I think, than usual.
Yeah, no, it's
no. F- off.
It was really nice to have Ta'ana back in action when we hadn't seen her at all this season. I know we technically saw the character and heard her meow a couple times. But like,
you got a nickname! Go.
Those cheeks are going to be fucked for days.
But they gave us a lot of Ta'ana here. And, you know, it's again, it's the last season, and there's a bittersweet quality to that.
The bleeps.
The sweet part is that they do appear to be going out on a high mark, right? These are all great
so
episodes.
High. So
You know, I think the other thing we're seeing in this episode, a little bit of the last episode, a little bit in the, you know, the other one with the nanites, you know, the best exotic nanite hotel, like another one where Mariner's like learning a lesson. some of these episodes demonstrate why it's like, yeah, I would like this show to keep going, but you can also see where they're starting to run out of steam a little bit. And yeah. That's not a fair way to put it, because I think they're doing a good job of sort of sticking the landing, mm-hmm. but they're like having to, they're having to close down some plot lines, right?
Yeah.
And resolve some character arcs, and we're seeing that in it happen now. And that's the part where I think it's a little like, okay, they're going to have to do, maybe they were intending to do this two seasons from now. And so
you think,
sort of
so you think if they're
bringing it down.
So you think if the episodes are running out of steam, it's not because they're out of ideas. You think it's because they're having to end it quicker than they normally would.
I'm saying, I don't know. I'm saying either. So you could argue that, you know what, maybe now is a good time and you can use these characters in some other format in the future.
And
these stories, or that they got truncated from their seven season expectation. And as a result, some things they're having to rely on more stereotypical, more tropey style plot lines in order to stick the landing quick enough.
I obviously don't know the first thing about financing like a media company, but I don't understand why they can't keep supporting the show. I know it's all about down to the bottom line and that kind of thing, but like
some sort of calculation, some algorithm.
I mean, how much money do you think they're actually saving? I bet it's not that much. Like, I mean, it's a small show, takes up 20 minutes of time. Like, I don't know how much cost it. I mean, I don't know how much it costs to license it, but I feel like licensing Lower Decks probably isn't that much, but I have no fucking idea. But like, I don't understand why they can't just go another two seasons. It's not like this, it's not like a big production show that like costs tons of money to make. I can understand those, even though I'm disappointed, I can understand that. But Lower Decks, it's like, it's just, you know.
I find it perplexing as well. I think a lot of people do, because it is a popular show. It's critically acclaimed. It gets great ratings. But
I mean, I guess if they got rid of Prodigy, if it's true, like they did it for a tax write-off, if that's true, that's why they got rid of Prodigy, then they were capable of anything.
I mean, who knows exactly? Because, you know, there's always rumors and stuff, and people say shit on the internet.
Yeah,
that's
why I say if it's true.
The long and the short of it is, there are two things that are perfectly logical propositions, and we don't have enough information to know which one is the right one. Proposition number one is that these are business people who have more information than we do, and they have all this knowledge about how these things work.
They must go to college.
And they've got some sort of...
they must not be stupider, because then they'd go to Jupiter.
They've got some sort of calculus that says...
I've been to Jupiter.
This is the thing they got to do. Mm-hmm. That's one perfectly reasonable proposition. The other proposition is that these are dumbasses, and they don't know what they're fucking doing.
Double
dumbasses.
And
they failed upwards, and now they're... Yeah. Reached the level of their incompetence, or they're just not able to have. Maybe they are good business people, but they're just not able to wrap their heads around how to actually best use the IP. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a combination of both. I don't have a fucking clue. It's sad that it's ending, and it's possible that there's been some small amount of impacts on the show of it ending.
I love to see someone work so hard at being lazy.
But that being said, I'm actually uncomfortable saying all that, because I did find it all super entertaining. I'm so delighted. I'm so fucking delighted with all these episodes, even with a few like very, very minor little
criticisms. I'm enjoying the season a lot.
And it's some of the best Star Trek you get to see. Some of the most creative stuff, these orbs and other business.
I can't make gains without my bells!
and again, so dense, right? Another really dense episode, lots of humor in there. Precisely.
Wait! I'm so stupid!
Yeah. Any other odds and ends?
Oh, the Kayshawn thing, I know I played it earlier, but I'm gonna play him back to back.
Scans couldn't locate him, Captain.
What are you talking about?
Whoops, that was not the right one.
what are you doing here, Dan?
Sorry, don't try again.
What's going on?
Take
here?
Two.
Scans couldn't locate him, Captain. Rajik, when he fell in the chasm.
See, they couldn't locate him because he fell in the chasm.
Mm-hmm.
I'm translating the Temerian language.
Or chasm.
Well, the implication.
Scans couldn't locate him.
That's
Captain.
Like saying
that he died.
Rajik, when he fell in the chasm.
No, he's in the chasm and he's lost in the chasm. They can't locate him because he's lost in
the
chasm.
The metaphor presumably maybe for death?
No, it doesn't say, it could be death, but he could just be lost in the chasm. There's nothing that states that it's death. The scanners don't find him because he's lost
in
the chasm.
We don't know the Temerian language.
We don't know if there's...
But Temerians speak in metaphors, not in literalisms. So if he says...
I know he speaks in metaphor. I know he speaks in metafors, and that's what I'm saying. The metaphor is that he fell into a chasm. He's gone. All we know is he's gone. We don't know that he's dead. We don't know if he's alive. We just know they can't find him.
Yes, but we know that he probably, the subject he is referring to probably did not fall into a chasm.
No, you're assuming that, and you're making me. You're trying to tell me that I assume that too, and that's not the presumption I'm making.
All I wanted to do was clarify that
death is not there's nothing that implies specifically that it has to be death.
Death therapy, Bob. It's a guaranteed cure.
Somebody doesn't skip Radius Day.
What about Bob? What was that? Last week? I can't even remember.
I'm 3D as hell.
What I can say is I think we're done for this week. I think
damn.
we covered all the main bits and pieces.
Damn, this girl keeps getting cooler by the second.
We had a good time. We hope you did too. Next week.
We hope you had a terrible time. And we hope
next
that you
week,
I forget what the
episode's called next week. It's called something. We already know the name, but I don't know. They'll probably change it or Paramount.
Lower Decks.
Paramount Plus will get it wrong, but it'll be episode 7 of Lower Decks 5th and final season.
Why isn't anybody glowing?
In the meantime. You can find us anywhere podcasts are podded, are cast, anywhere pods are cast. You can find us out there, Apple Podcasts and, I don't know, Amazon, Spotify, all that business, wherever you find a podcast.
That naked creep's got anti-Q propaganda.
Overcast.
Oh, is that like being naked?
We're all over the social media, especially on the Blue Sky. Everyone should head over there.
The orbs and the cubes.
If you've never done social media, this might be a good time to try it out. Go make an account on Blue Sky and then follow us at It's Got Star Trek.
I do not know. I don't understand that.
You'll also find us on Threads and Facebook and YouTube, all that jazz.
We might not.
Yeah. No, you will find us there. What else? Website, www.itsgotstartrek.com.
Oh, it's obvious.
Patreon, patreon.com/ It's Got Star Trek. Yeah, just plain old / It's Got Star Trek.
This is not a good idea.
Got a lot of fun stuff over there at the old Patreon. And
quality.
Yeah. Nice going, f***o.
I think that covers everything, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Like a blanket.
All right. We'll talk to you again right about the same time next week. Bye-bye.
I guess it's time for me to leave. That's the end game.
Now, that's a good one.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be as easy as that.
Hey, Dr. Ta'ana.
What do you want?
Nothing. What's crapping in with you?
What did you just call me?
Because you're a...
Oh, he's still loopy from the hypo spray.
I should split your face in half for talking to me like that, you little twerp.
Why aren't you swearing?
How about this? You little... Your face!
Guys, help me!
Piece of...